guys ready to jump into the Word today? We've got, this is one of those weeks where it's like, there's not really a theme that we're starting right now. This is like an in-between bonus message. I don't even know what this is. This is just a bonus message. And part of the reason this message is even stirred up is because of the season in which we live. And I just feel like this is the time to strike with this kind of a word. And it should be encouraging, and it should inspire you to do some very specific things. If you're here this morning, I believe the reason you're here is because God's going to stir you up. And I need to be stirred up. Anybody else need to be stirred up about some stuff? And there's different kinds of stirring. I could be stirred up because other people are stirred up, and I can stir my own heart up. And the Holy Spirit can come and inspire, stir me up, and get me to move. But the fruit is all the same. Once you're stirred up, man, you've got energy, you've got excitement, you got a new sense of, I don't know, pizzazz. This is why we have cheerleaders. This is why we have cheerleaders. And today I just believe the Holy Spirit's going to be our spiritual cheerleader. It started with me this morning. I was getting ready. I was just feeling very, what's the word? Kind of timid about this word. This is really honest. I was like sitting before the Lord in prayer, and I'm saying, Lord, I just don't know if I should be preaching this today. And immediately, it was like the Holy Spirit led me to 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. And just hear these words. This was how the Holy Spirit stirred me up. Okay, so this is a message I feel started with me. The Lord wanted to minister to me. And it said, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, have great patience and instructions, for the time will come when people will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to just have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. And they're going to turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths, fancy imaginations. But you, this is Ben, but you, Ben, be sober. No issue right there. But in all things, endure hardship and do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. So I just felt, all right, Lord, I'm going to fulfill my ministry today. I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to preach the word of God like you stirred it up in me. And we'll see what happens. Amen? So here's where this all comes from. Maybe this word starts with what's happening tomorrow. How many know what's happening tomorrow in the sky? Yeah. How many have done a YouTube search about a solar eclipse at all? Anybody do a YouTube search or search online about anything with solar eclipse? Okay, yes, some of you did. How many of you have fallen into the dark abyss of conspiracy theories, crazy prophecies, maybe some sound prophecies, all kinds of interpretations about the eclipse? Anybody fall into that? I'll tell you, man, there is no shortage. If you do a YouTube search on eclipse, you will have a long list of crazies and some smart ones all talking about the same thing, an eclipse. And man, you got on one extreme, you got people who are, it's the end of the world as we know it. They're on that side. And then you got the other people and they're like, there is no eclipse. It's like the lunar landing. There is nothing, zero. And I'm going, oh my gosh, we got them on all over, everywhere. And so I don't know where you personally land on any of those. So don't take anything too serious. Take it all serious. And I said, don't take any of it too serious. Just relax with it. I do believe the Lord wants to say something to us, though. And I turn to the book of Acts. Listen to this. Acts chapter 2, verse 20. Acts chapter 2, verse 20 says, the sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. And it says, before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. So look at that. This is some interesting stuff here. So anybody who says, I don't believe in all that solar, any of that stuff as signs and spirituals, you can say, well, God uses it as a sign. You can turn right back and say, well, hey, moon, stars, all that stuff, God uses it as a sign, so you can't poo-poo the stuff that's in the sky and what's happening. There is some significance. But at the same time, don't drink the Kool-Aid and go bonkers over there. Don't sell your house this week. Hopefully you didn't. Well, some of you might have needed to sell it because you're moving or whatever. But, I mean, don't go crazy. And I just believe that there is something that the Lord is doing, and he uses instances like this to stir us up and to get our attention. And so to kick this off, I want to talk about what is this phrase, the day of the Lord, and why is it tied to things like in Acts 2:20, where it says, you'll see the sun turn dark, moon turn to blood before the great day of the Lord, the glorious day of the Lord. What is that? Maybe you could do a quick word or phrase search, put together the grouping, that phrase, and look throughout Scripture what the day of the Lord even is. And you'll see it. It's an amazing phrase that hasn't just happened once. It's happened in escalation, kind of like a pregnancy, right? Kind of, oh, well, maybe you don't know. But like a pregnancy, it starts small, and then you start to show. And then you start to get uncomfortable, from what I've heard. And then all of a sudden, you are praying with everything. Get this kid out. You know, I am ready to deliver. And it just escalates. And the day of the Lord is like this. Little times of the day of the Lord, coupled with more little times, to bigger times, to that great day of the Lord. And so we see the day of the Lord often refers to a day of judgment, not just harsh, evil, pain, you know, that, also the rewards. It's a day of dispersing what is coming. It's a day where God is judging those that are rebellious and sinful and that, but it's also a day where there's great reward. And that is going to escalate until the great coming of the Lord. And that's when Jesus comes back. That is the great day of the Lord. And when he comes back, he will do both those things like we've seen in Old Testament, prophesied at that last, you know, kind of end, Malachi says, there's coming a great day. And we're going to see when Jesus returns, he's going to mete out punishment and he's going to mete out reward. The day of the Lord is that moment that Christ returns and all the blessings are brought with him and the rewards, and then all of the punishment is going to be, you know, divvied out. And everything that is satanic and has anything to do with evil and all of that will spend eternity in hell. That's the great day of the Lord. Yeah, it's pretty big and scary and stuff like that. When I hear this phrase, I'm reminded of something else in Scripture. And I'm going to call it the spirit of Elijah. And this is why I hesitated a little bit, because I don't usually emphasize this phrasing and talk like this. So if this is weird, you hear me talking in these terms. It's something that I don't always do, but I'm doing it today. I want to talk a lot about the spirit of Elijah. The reason I want to talk about the spirit of Elijah, because I believe that's what God is doing in our moment right now. As this eclipse is happening, and as our nations, not just America, but nations globally, are doing some crazy things, I believe there's an increase of the spirit of Elijah. And what I'm talking about is, man, some great stuff. I want to start by going to Luke chapter 1 and see what this says. In Luke chapter 1, verses 15 through 17, we read this phrase, the spirit of Elijah, and it's in reference to John the Baptist. In this little section of Scripture, the angel of the Lord is saying for this little baby, John the Baptist, he's going to be great in the sight of the Lord. He will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. That is a great section right there. There is going to be something in this spirit of Elijah that is specifically going to address this point right here. There's going to be many people who turn back. It is he who will go as a forerunner. Say forerunner. The spirit of Elijah comes before the day of the Lord. This is important. It comes before him in the spirit of Elijah.
What?
What in the world? He's coming in the spirit and the power of Elijah for this purpose, to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous. That's a neat phrase, to the attitude of the righteous. The spirit of Elijah does this effective changing hearts. It begins to stir people up and they have a new attitude, the attitude of the righteous. What a great attitude. Have you ever met somebody with a good attitude? There are some people, they are just good to be around. There's others, we don't need to talk about them right now. But boy, those with the good attitudes, you just want to be around them. They make everything mow better. And I love it. And so the spirit of Elijah will change people's hearts. They're going to have the attitude of the righteous. And it will eventually, this is what it's really doing. It's making people ready for the return of the Lord. John the Baptist made people ready for the ministry of Christ, the anointed one. He prepared anybody that was going to be prepared and ready to receive Jesus as Messiah out of the Jewish people. John the Baptist played that role to unite them. And then the ministry opened up to the Gentiles. And now I'm speaking to a group of Gentiles, minus one Jewish person in the room, speaking to a group of Gentiles, and the spirit of Elijah is coming to the Gentile world prior to the day of Christ's return to say, turn. The spirit of Elijah is speaking to America, saying to America, return. The spirit of Elijah is breathing on people all over, coast to coast in America right now. This is going to be a beautiful time where we see an escalation in the miraculous, where we see an escalation in distinction, where people will become more sold out and on fire and bold for Jesus. And this whole process is preparing everyone in America for Christ's return. Oh, I just believe this. Now let's rewind and go back to Malachi's prophecy. This was the thing that was fulfilled in part with what Elijah, John the Baptist did. And here in Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, it says this. Malachi 4, verse 5. Behold, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet. He didn't actually send Elijah, the literal Elijah, the prophet. He didn't do that. He said, but I'm going to send Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. So I love the language there. When Jesus was on the face of the earth, walking and fulfilling his ministry, it probably didn't feel like the terrible day. But that was what Jesus said. This is what it's fulfilling. John the Baptist was this fulfillment. I think, wow, this is a beautiful thing. And it said, he will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, so that I will not come and smite the land with a curse. Ooh, man. So for hundreds of years then after Malachi's prophecy, these people waited for the spirit of Elijah to come and prepare for the ministry of Christ. And for how long have we waited for Christ's return? It's been over 2,000 years and we've been waiting for the return of Christ, haven't we? People in the Middle East, all those Jewish people, they were asking Jesus, is it coming right now? He says, it's not for you to know. Just stop worrying about that. You just prepare. We've had that kind of message up until this day. To this day, we've heard similar themes. And don't be embarrassed to think about how many times we could have said, there's the day of the Lord that has come. Think of the 10 persecutions against the church that flooded the church. And if you were alive during those days in the destructions of temples and the murder of just mass murders of people who professed a faith in Christ, you would have believed This is the day of the Lord right now. This is tribulation. This is the moment when Jesus is coming back. And then he didn't. But the message would have been very appropriate for any of those prophets to tell their generation, prepare, there is coming a day of the Lord. And for some, that came real quick. Well, I'm telling you, in my spirit and echoed through the halls of many churches, we are all saying one similar theme. The time is coming. Christ's return is imminent. And what I'm hearing in the spirit right now is he is saying, this is the time for the spirit of Elijah to just be stirred up and run through the nation. Because the day of the Lord is coming. I believe this imminence of the day of the Lord is something we don't always think about. So let me just remind you of a few verses. 1 Thessalonians 5:2. He says, you know full well that the day of the Lord is going to come like a thief in the night. The day of the Lord is coming like a thief in the night. Whoo! You ever been robbed? Whoo! I remember one time in the streets in New York, my family were taking a family trip to New York City, and we stopped late or early in the morning, actually, and we were in this big conversion van, and we're there, and in the middle of the night, someone tried to break into the van because we got there a little before we, my dad's a cheapskate sometimes and he just drives like, we ain't stopping, we going, you know, take the coffee can, go to the bathroom in a coffee can, we get in there. And then we get there and we're in a weird time in the night and he's like, just sleep. We ain't getting a hotel for 2 hours, sleep in the van, you know, so we're sleeping in the van. We wake up in the morning and there was a knife blade broken in the window. Because someone tried to get into our conversion van. As they're breaking into the van, they realize, oh, there's people in there. And then they bolted. And my dad was like, he's a white guy, but he was whiter. He was like, look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Little bros, look at that. I still remember that. That was just all cool. I had no fear. I was like, that's awesome. As a kid, I just think that's amazing. None of us heard it. None of us heard that. And there are times when I'm asleep, things can happen, and I will be amazed. I had an entire wall cabinet fall off of its walls. It's a steel cabinet, weighed about maybe 250, something like that. It was the entire width of a utility room. The entire thing fell through, busted through the adjoining wall, cracked it all. Everyone in the entire house woke up. I didn't. My room was right next to it. I was out. I was like, what happened? So when I read this, the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, maybe you should be freaked out like I should be freaked out. Don't assume you're going to be awake for this. Don't assume you're going to know all the things. It says it this way because it is likely that the majority of people will be surprised. Let that sink in this morning. It's going to be a surprise when the day of the Lord comes here. How many of us in this room would say, I'm anticipating it right now. Maybe mentally, we can agree with the words. Emotionally, are you there yet? Has it connected with your heart? Are you emotionally processing? You may not have a year. You might not have 2 days. Well, wait a minute. What does that mean? Well, don't panic. Well, I'm about to panic. Well, don't panic. Why? Because you're a believer. It is not terrible. It's the great part. You get the great part. You don't get the terrible. And the amazing thing is just the fullness of our faith. This is what our faith is all about. So when people see signs in the sky and they're like, whoa, do not be quick to dismiss it and put it all in the crazy pile. Let it hit your emotions and go, you know what? It is real. It's in Scripture. God is going to use signs in the sky and all kinds of things to wake us up to the reality that he is coming and coming soon. And when I read in 2 Thessalonians 2:2, it says, okay, we don't want you to be quickly shaken from your composure or disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter as if it was from us because, to the effect that the day of the Lord has already come. It says basically what I just told you. Don't freak out as we're talking about this. When someone is sharing this stuff and their goal is whether unspoken or very clear, they just want to cause panic and they want to have influence and sell books. Shut those people down. Come on, I want to spare you wasted time on the internet and YouTube. Shut down the people that are getting rich off of the eclipse and prophetic things. Shut down the people that just make money off of sincere Christians that want to honor God's word and his spirit, but they come at a $20 price book point. And if you just read this, I've got a 10 reasons why the eclipse means this. Bull crap. Throw the whole thing away. Don't waste your 20 bucks. Don't go to the seminar. Stop watching their dumb videos. And if I get passionate about it, why do I get passionate about it? Because this is pointless to a solid, well-balanced Christian. There is nothing new and nothing of value in it, except for them that are getting rich off of it, except for them that are doing a tour. Stop it. Instead, shift your focus to what the book says. Get busy stirring up the spirit of Elijah. Get busy stirring that up. Start doing what God says to do, especially when we look at the example of what John the Baptist did and what is in that spirit of Elijah. And we'll go back and touch on actual prophet Elijah and what did he do? Because this is what we should spend our time doing. And then when we look at John the Baptist, we go, oh yeah, look at that. And then when we look at the examples of the apostles, they were all basically following this same example. And I'll tell you, it is what we need to put our energies into today. So shut the YouTube down and start up the spirit of Elijah and let's run. I get so pumped on this. This is good. 2 Peter 3:10 says this, the day of the Lord is going to come like a thief in which the heavens will pass away with a roar and the elements will all be destroyed with intense heat and the earth and its works will all just be burned up. Boom, just like that. This is the day of the Lord. It is coming. Wow. I just love all of that. Man, oh man. Who was Elijah? Elijah was a prophet. Now, here's some fun things about Elijah that I need to highlight because it lays the groundwork for his spirit, his mindset, the qualities that are in common with the actual prophet Elijah and what we're preaching about today. Elijah was a man who we don't know much of his background. He came from nowhere. He didn't have much of a pedigree. He really didn't. You can read his story in 1 Kings 17 in the area where I would highlight today. And I'm going to call this his first episode. There are 6 episodes or cycle stories that are taught about the prophet Elijah. The first one is his prophecy about the coming drought. The prophecy about a coming famine, a drought that is going to be all in the land. And so out of the blue, it seems, this man Elijah shows up, talks to the king Ahab, and pronounces this coming drought because of the spiritual condition of the Israelite people, the nation of Israel. So he does all of this, and what in the world am I supposed to pull from that actual story of Elijah? It's simply this. Let me bring it to you. You don't need a pedigree to stir up the spirit of Elijah. Right. Elijah didn't have it. So I want you to just know every single person in this room is qualified to stir up the spirit of Elijah that I'm talking about today. You don't need to have a degree. You don't need to come from a specific denominational background. You don't need to have 20 years of experience in this or that. You just have to be a person like Elijah who is led by the power and the influence of the Holy Spirit. You are set apart. It's a beautiful thing. His credentials were actually the affirmation of what God Almighty did. When he said there's going to be a famine, a drought, all of these problems, then it happened. Everybody went, oh man, that guy's real. Do you know what I hear when I hear a lot of people prophesy and piggyback on the things like the eclipse and stuff? What I hear is they are schmoes. They've done the same thing many different times. All of it is circumstantial. You don't even need the power of the Holy Spirit to do everything that they're doing. I could make up the majority of what they do and sell books and probably retire very wealthy. I don't need the Holy Spirit to do the majority of the prophesying and pathetic stuff that is out there. But if you are like the prophet Elijah, you put yourself out there as a risk and say, no, this is God. If it's not God, you will shut your mouth and you'll walk away from that role. Why? Because
You can't manufacture the spirit of Elijah. That's only God can do that. So we need to rely on the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Not so much on head knowledge and all these other things and credentials. We need to draw near to the power of the Holy Spirit and be bathed in the Holy Spirit more than we have ever been bathed. And just draw near. I love the fact that he didn't need an introduction. I don't even see him saying, I need somebody to introduce me or anything. He just did it. He just was it. So if you want to be like Elijah, just be a Christian. Be an on fire, sold out, spirit-filled Christian. Talk about Jesus all the time. Minister to people. Love people. Do all that stuff without any need for a warm-up to it. Just be you. Boy, I love that. Yeah. I think in this generation, I think this generation, and when I say this generation, I mean the younger generation, so like teenagers and some of that, I think they're poised more for just being than my generation. My generation kind of has gone through kind of like we're like a buffer generation. I don't even know how to say that. Maybe that's not official. I'd probably have to talk to David Kinnaman or maybe talk to somebody else that's really smart and analyzes everything and stuff like that and be like, well, what do you call us, you know, Gen Xers or any of that? And man, I just think that so much of my generation is missing in action. They're just not there. They're not in church. Or they've been hurt by the church and they're out of the church. Or they're kind of in the church, not kind of in the church. Who knows where they're at? They're kind of a guy. They're kind of a girl. They don't know. They might. They're all over the map. And what's good for you is good for you. They're not going to be in your business. Don't be in my business. They just disappear. That's really all that they try and do. And it's sad to paint it in that picture, but that's just the reality. But here's my hope. This next generation, no, they want a little bit more significance. They're a little bit more pragmatic. What I see in them is like, hey, show me the money. Maybe literally, but spiritually, they're like, okay, I've heard a lot. I want to see a lot now. I want to know and I want to experience. I need to know this for me. I don't need you to just tell me things. I want to experience it for myself. I don't want you to do it. Show me how to do it. Yes. This is kind of a cool shift. Now, what does that mean for this next generation? We have got an entire generation that is primed to be the spirit of Elijah. Because they will be a little more bold to say, no, this is just the way it is. And they'll know how to navigate the nuance of our current climate. What is my generation supposed to do? We should probably be like the parents of John the Baptist. Nurture them. Nurture them, encourage them, bless them, support them, pray for them, release them. Stand there and applaud them as they do that stuff. I mean, tell you, we've got to do whatever it takes to be the parents that release that next generation. And spiritually speaking, even the spiritual pastors, fathers in our nation, boy, it's coming to a time where we have got to release people to minister more and more. There is no way we're going to be able to minister to all the people that need Jesus if we're just doing it ourselves. So Elijah confronted Ahab. What does that mean? Here's another quality about Elijah. And this is why I believe this generation is poised for it. Elijah confronted the guy who was compromised that came before him. Yes. You think about this. Oh, my Lord. How do I say this without offending myself? I don't like being confronted by just the nature of someone doing something right. When I see a younger person doing something right and it kind of confronts me in an error or something I'm doing wrong, I'm like, that stinks. I just go somewhere else and ignore them. You know, why? Because that's just offensive. I just don't want that person around my life now. But boy, when you see the younger generation serving God, the Ahab generation that's compromised and sold out and hasn't been living for God, even though they've have the heritage and the name to live for God, they need to be confronted by the spirit of Elijah. So there needs to be people who are bold enough to tell the forerunners who are compromised, you are compromised. And you need to stop being compromised. And you need to either be sold out for Jesus or you need to sit down and let someone else take the throne. You've got to do it. And that is so offensive to me, and it's so challenging at times, but there are people that God is anointing to lead, and it's going to feel like confrontation. So parents who have kids who are more sold out for them or sold out for God than they are for God is an embodiment of what I'm talking about. We have got a generation of young people that the young person is on fire for God. The parents can take it or leave it. That's a reality. I can think of multiple situations where that's their reality. I can think of churches where the pastors are just kind of floating along. But there are younger people going, come on, we need. And they are ready to tackle the world. And so then what do you do? We have got to figure out a way to release that spirit of Elijah. Because those young people have got to confront the compromise in the world. So maybe for us Ahab generations, we need to then embrace that as a goal. Let's stop tolerating what we have tolerated and start confronting the compromise. In us first and in the things around us. Thank you, Nate, for nodding. Because this is where the rubber meets the road for us. I've got to start confronting the compromises in me and my generation. I have to be bold. Where I've been uncomfortable, I need to now make that my home and live in that place of uncomfortable tension where I confront what I have used to just tolerating. Ooh. Come on, that's what the spirit of Elijah does. Confronts the Ahabs. Wow. If right now, if you're thinking, okay, I just need, credentials from God. I need to confront compromise and all that kind of stuff. I don't know if I can do this. Let me give you these two verses that really encourage me. Philippians 4:13, you've heard it. You can do all this through Christ who gives you strength. Come on, if you are my generation and go, I don't know how I'm going to do this. Encourage the next generation. Start preaching to yourself, you can do this because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can release this next generation. You can confront the compromise in yourself and the world around you. Stop thinking you can't. You can do it. Oh, I'm just thinking, is there anybody in here in my generation or a little older that thinks, well, no one's going to listen to me? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You can do it. They will listen to you. You'll be able to do whatever you need to do. Why? Because of God's spirit stirring up in you. That's the spirit of Elijah in our generation. That next generation, they're timid. They're not battle hardened yet. So then our generation has to say, don't be fearful. Come on, you can do all things through Christ's strength. But I've never done it before. That doesn't matter. The minute you're required to show up, God's going to show you how to do it. You can do this. So now we need to come alongside these younger generations and say, come on, try it. It's okay. You never do it. You don't need a safe space right now. You need an unsafe space. You need a safe space. Yeah, like nobody. Come on. You need to get into the forefront of this battle. You're going to see God do mighty things. You can do it. I don't know. And just encourage them. Be their cheerleader. In Acts 1:8, it says this. You're going to receive power by the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit's poured out on you, you're going to receive power to be a witness. Right where you're at and going in through the whole world. This is the reason I come back to this almost cliched scripture in a charismatic culture is because we cannot dismiss this. We need a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And you have got to hunger and thirst for this. So in both generations now, me and this next generation, we have got to think about what are the practical ways where we put our hunger into action. What do you do? Man, I remember stories of Charles Parham and the revivals that happened in the Midwest and stuff. And man, they just got hungry for the Lord and pressed in and waited, prayed long, camped out. They just started doing that and the Holy Spirit fell. And most of them had never experienced that before. They were just reading for and hungering. And that's when God just poured stuff out. And that started a whole outpouring of God. It went from coast to coast in America. You could remember Azusa Street. Boy, in California, man, people were just hungry and the Holy Spirit fell. No one, you couldn't say, how did this happen without saying they were just hungry and thirsty. They wanted the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And this happened as a result of people, 120 or so, got together and they waited in an upper room. There's an upper room for us. And this is what we need to do. If we need to stir the spirit of Elijah up, we need to start waiting on God more. And we need to hunger and thirst for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We need to do this. Mark is nodding his head right here. Mark sends these little notes. He forwards them to me. 15 minutes a day, I think, is what it, the title is. And every time I see him, I don't get to read all of them because I scan over stuff and all this, but I'll stop and read. And I'm thankful for that and so many other things that encourage us to stay in prayer and to tarry before the Lord and to do this. But I feel like we just pass it on. We don't take it serious. Let's bring the pain of the day of the Lord forward so we have some motivation to wait before God. If you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that tomorrow Jesus was going to break open the skies and come through and everything that we just read about the day of the Lord would happen in a blink of an eye, boy, I bet you would think differently and pray differently and you'd probably realign your day just so differently. Let a little of that come forward and get you prepared for all that God wants to do. We need that because one of the other qualities of the ministry of Elijah the prophet, and then duplicated in the spirit of Elijah as we see it coming forward to today, is this, that Elijah was miraculously sustained. Yes. Miraculously sustained. Why am I bringing this up? In this first episode of Elijah's ministry and life, here's this man, no credentials other than God, no introduction other than God and the miraculous. He comes forward and he confronts compromise. And God shows up and this drought happens and famine, people are starving to death and all that. You would think he's the man of God, right? Well, is he worried? Is he afraid? What did he show us? God miraculously sustained him either by ravens feeding him and a water like a brook or a widow and her son and miraculous food and that. And you just look at this and think, God is amazing. Here's the reality. Each and every one of us are about to come into a real phase where you need the miraculous in your life. And if you are not ready to count on the miraculous, you have not stirred up the spirit of Elijah yet. I'm going to tell you, you need a very familiar relationship with the miraculous. You should walk in the supernatural more than you have ever walked in the supernatural. I don't care your DNA or your experience in the past. If you've said, well, that's just not my culture. I was raised in a church. We didn't really do that stuff. We focused on the word of God. Or you say whatever. I'm going to tell you, an army won't be able to save you. Your 401k won't be able to save you. An army of friends won't be able to save you. There is coming a moment where nothing will save you but something miraculous and supernatural. And in that moment, your reason will not help you. You will not be able to rely on reason alone and human intellect. You'll have to come back to a safe space of the miraculous. And that's what he was comfortable with. Are you at that level yet with Elijah? I don't know if I'm at that level yet with Elijah. I need to grow. How do you grow in that? You need to start today risking and testing and proving the Lord in small things. Do it now because you need to build that muscle because it's coming time. You won't be able to build a muscle on the day you got to show up with the miraculous. You got to start building it right now. So if you've never heard the Holy Spirit speak to you, that's a miraculous reality you got to bring forward. You got to start listening to God right now and then test it out. Act. Do it. Try it. What's the worst thing that's going to happen? You're going to look stupid. That's far less painful than the day of the Lord. Far less painful than the day of the Lord. Look stupid. Don't get burned up forever in hell. That would be horrible. Just look stupid for a minute. That's okay. And what you'll do is you'll learn how to tune in and listen to the voice of the Lord better. And if it's not listening to the voice of the Lord and obeying, then man, you've got to do things like start praying and prepping with the anticipation that you're going to be the tool used to bring about a miraculous healing or something else as the Holy Spirit speaks to you. You got to know the dynamic of the kingdom of God. He does not give something to you and I that we can't contain. I did not say he can't give you something as much as you contain. He gives you more than you can contain. He'll overflow. But if you're a container that has not prepared to contain anything, he doesn't waste anything. So just like what we're told by the Apostle Paul, come on, young church, is what he's saying. He goes, clean yourself up, prepare yourself for more noble purposes. Start consecrating your heart. Spend the time necessary as an individual so that you can be prepared for more. Every person in here can have that spirit of Elijah and prepare for more. I can't choose it for you, but you can choose it, and then the fruit of it will be evidence, because even the youngest in this room can turn and pray for someone and see a dramatic miracle. Even the youngest in this room can say, the word of the Lord just came to me and spoke to me. I'll tell you, any Ahab around that, you know, 9-year-old that's speaking the word of God will drop. They will be like, what? You know, it will just shock them and wake them up. And this is so good. Oh my gosh. Part of why I'm excited is because it's the spirit of Elijah that turns the hearts of people back to the Lord. That phrase, the fathers to the sons, sons to the fathers, is a phrase that meant the nation of Israel would come back to its roots, its covenant relationship with the Lord. As a nation, they would look like a nation of God. Well, the nation of God is bigger than just the Jewish people now. Now the nation of God includes all of us, and it's a spiritual family. So what does that look like? When God comes and turns our hearts back to our fathers and the fathers back, that means everyone in the family of God becomes the family of God again. I'm telling you, the church in America has been ripped to pieces. We've had so much divorce in America in the natural. Spiritually, there has been so much division in the churches. There's been so much fracturing in this country. It's amazing we even have a hint of what a family, a nuclear family looks like, let alone a spiritual family where a church is unified. And I'll tell you, there is something God has deposited in this church that I honor. I am so blessed by it. There is family here. And it's not in the natural. I'm not talking about it in just the natural. I like you guys in the natural, but there's a spiritual deposit that the Lord is doing in our church and so many churches around this city. He is building this unity in the family of God. Why? It's the spirit of Elijah. We are going to see people's hearts turned back to God like we've never seen before in our generation. That's the fruit of the spirit of Elijah. And so this is where I come to the prodigal son story. Whoo! About 3 weeks ago, I was bawling. It was like the Holy Spirit hit me with a 2x4 right here in the middle of this sanctuary. I came in just to do some prayer time. And it was like, boom, whack. I fell on the ground. I'm sitting here and I began cry laughing. I haven't cry laughed in a long time. And what does cry laughing look? Try it sometime. It's weird. It's really weird. I really only do that when it's like a Hallmark marathon, and that's the only time I really cry laugh, or when God moves. And I'm sitting here, and I'm crying and praying in the Spirit, and all of a sudden I begin to vocalize what the Spirit of God is moving in my heart. He's saying, rejoice over the prodigals. They're coming home. They're coming home. And I began to cry and laugh, and I was like celebrating over the enemy spiritually. I'm just by myself. I'm like going, hoo-hoo-hoo, this is gonna be so good. People who have been estranged from the family of God will be coming back, and I'm rejoicing. I was bawling. And then it wasn't but days. I even got a text message from a buddy, and he said, it's been a while and I'm coming back. He didn't even know what I had been praying and what I experienced. He was an affirmation of what the Holy Spirit spoke to me. Whew, talk about flooring me. You don't need to know all the details, but I'll tell you, that blew me away. And I just sat there going, this is God. The spirit of Elijah is about to move in such a way, I don't know what to do, other than just get excited about the whole thing. Right. So the prodigal son story, think about what the spirit of God did, and think about what the father in that story did. The father in that story waited with anticipation for the first glimpse of that person coming home. And I want to challenge you in this point. You need to wake up that expectation for the prodigal coming home. And you need to expect it with such a reality that you're ready for the celebration. You're ready for the party. You've already got in your mind, I'm going to party with that person. Amen. It is not going to be the time to tell them you told them so. Because the Holy Spirit already did it. You don't need to repeat what the Holy Spirit did. Let the Holy Spirit just speak. You just embrace what the father in that story said. He said, come on, my son's come home again. He was dead, but now he's alive. That's what he spoke. And I'll tell you, that's the message of the church. The church right now, there is going to be a season of people coming back, and they will be anticipating what the enemy is saying. Shame, condemnation, misunderstanding, keeping a record of wrongs. I'll tell you what the father does. The father says, no, here's a ring. Here's a robe. Here's a big old hug. And now let's go have a barbecue. Okay, that's my interpretation of that. But I think it's biblical. And I'll tell you what that does. Is then that doubles, triples, it increases the army of God. Because what happens after the prodigal comes home? That nation of warriors evangelizes. Because that message goes everywhere and proclaims the heart of the Father. And you have proof and evidence. It's like that spirit of Elijah is everywhere saying, now you choose. Who will you serve, Baal or the living God? Who will you choose? The God that says, come back to me and changes our brothers and sisters' lives around. Come on, you need a change. And now you have an army that is even stronger after the breaking than it was before. Spirit of Elijah puts people back together that feels like none's ever going to put them back together. And it lays the groundwork for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit where evangelism is going to happen on a whole new level. And every single person in that army will have miracle working power. Every single person in that army will have a confidence of the Holy Spirit because they can do it. I just tell you, I get stirred up. All of this, you could safely say, is relevant because we're going to have an eclipse tomorrow. And if that makes me sound kooky, so what? We're going to have an eclipse. My Bible says in multiple times, the sun's going to get dark and it will be one of many signs over and over again that there is a spirit of Elijah that is coming and there needs to be a time of repentance and coming back to the Lord. Prodigals have got to come back. And the people that are in the house right now, you know, we have to prepare because if we don't, we'll be like the older brother in that prodigal story. You will criticize everything that God is about to do. And I don't want to be a negative person, but I'm going to say there's going to be people in churches everywhere that will not be prepared for what God's going to do. And they will misinterpret it. They'll criticize it. They won't embrace people. And they're going to miss out. That older son missed out on the party. Instead, he had just bitterness and resentment because what? God didn't do what he thought he should do in his own life. Come on, church. We have got to be more mature than that and just embrace what God is about to do. Start today stirring up that spirit of Elijah. Can I ask you to stand with me? Jesus' disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration saw Elijah. They did. They saw Elijah. What in the world? They saw Moses. I look at all this and I think, this is beautiful. And Jesus was right there. And with each of these, the Lord spoke this word over me to share with you guys today. This is what I believe each and every one of us is called to do, to be people of action today. I don't even know what that will look like in your life, but I just, that's the phrase. I have nothing else. It's like the Lord said, Elijah was a man of action. Moses was a man of action. Jesus was a man of action. I'm telling you, this is the time frame. So when we're stirring up the spirit of Elijah, I believe that label is you're going to be a man of action, a woman of action. So I want to pray right now because I just need that. I need to be a man of action. And if you need that, then I want you to just join me in, let's go before the Lord and let's ask the Lord to help us. We need to be transformed. I know I need it. Heavenly Father, I'm asking you right now, come and move in a fresh way in my life. Move in a fresh way in our life as a church. In every part of this city, move. Lord, in our nation, move in a very fresh way and change us so that each and every one of us will look more like that spirit of Elijah, alive in this moment, preparing people for the day of the Lord. And show us how to become people of action, men and women of action, not men and women of just talking, not men and women of just thinking about things and agreeing with things. Lord Jesus, come and stir our hearts to act. And Lord, I just ask you to be gentle with each and every one of us, because we're just so stupid, Lord. We don't know better. We just don't know any better, Lord. We can only come to you as we are. And I'm asking you that, Lord, you would remove the stigma of our past so that's not a distraction, so that we can focus more on letting you be you through us. Lord, I ask that those verses I read about we can do all things through you who gives us strength, let it become our reality in our hearts and our minds. We can't do this on our own, so Holy Spirit, come and do it in us. Lord, the reality of being poured out on, where your spirit is poured out again, fresh baptism in fire and in the Holy Spirit. Lord, we cannot convince people. We can't preach them into the kingdom. We can't do it in our own effort. We are desperately in need of a move of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, forgive us. We walk so much by our sight. We're not walking by faith, and we want to be people of action where we rely on the miraculous. And so if there's been doubt in our hearts, Lord, would you purge that in our hearts today and let us be free from that doubt, whether it's self-doubt or it's being lack of being convinced about things. Lord, let that doubt be removed and let there be a holy boldness that comes with the fresh outpouring of your spirit. Lord Jesus, stir up in this church the spirit of Elijah. Stir up in this city the spirit of Elijah. And let this church and let our other church friends in this city be prepared for the prodigals to come running back to you. Oh God, let them run back to you. And God, let there be a time of great rejoicing at that running back to you. Oh God. And prepare our churches for an evangelistic wave that you have predicted before your return. There is going to be a great harvest. Lord, let it be. Don't let it go another generation without being fulfilled. Let it be in our time. Don't let another sweet, dear saint join you in heaven until we've seen heaven reach an earth in this way. Lord God, let there be a revival.
Yes, Lord.
Stir our hearts, God.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, we wait for you, Lord. We wait for you, Lord. Holy Spirit, fill this room. Lord, right now, the young people that are little even, those that are in the children's church and those that are in the little classrooms, just like you spoke over John the Baptist while he's still in the womb, Lord, come and minister to each and every one of these little people right now. God, come in and birth in them that roaring lion, that spirit of Elijah in every one of them. Oh, Holy Spirit, come and just be unleashed on our young kids. Lord, let them rise with just wisdom and insight. Let them rise with the fullness of your spirit. Let there be joy in their life. Lord, let it be overflowing. Oh, Father God. God, let it be an affirmation of so much of our prayers and our hopes.
Lord God. Right now, I speak purpose over the elderly in the room that are wondering, what's my role? Lord Jesus, release all of the seasoned saints, the older brothers and sisters, to affirm the younger brothers and sisters. Lord, let there be prophetic words. Let there be encouragement. Let there be laying on of hands and ministry and impartation. Let there be insight and a seasoned word at just the right time to breathe life into a young believer or a young person. God, release that encouragement. Release it. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, Amy, just keep playing, and let's just lift our hands and let's pray in the Spirit and just wait before the Lord right now. Oh, just glorify the Lord in your heart. If you don't speak in tongues, just worship the Lord. Just praise the Lord. Focus on the Lord right now. Tell him you love him and just honor him and begin to magnify him, worship him. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Take time and just wait here in the presence of the Lord. Holy Spirit, we stir you up in this place right now. We invite you to come and land on each and every one of us like that dove. Like what you were pictured as, a dove. Oh, Lord God, Holy Spirit, come and move. We yield to you right now in faith. We just say, yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord Jesus. Use our mouth. Use our hands and our feet. Let us worship and praise you. We don't want the rocks to cry out. We're going to cry out, Lord Jesus. We're going to stir up the spirit of Elijah, and we're going to pray. We're going to tarry. We're going to press in. Oh, Lord, release it. Hallelujah, Lord God. Lord, awaken a hunger. Awaken a fresh hunger in this house. Awaken a desire that can't be satisfied by the things of this world. Lord Jesus, let it be awoke. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Worship you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Lord. Oh, we love you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Ooh. Normally we turn our attention to an altar time where if you have a special need, we pray for you. Right now, I just believe the Holy Spirit is ministering. We don't want to get in the way of that. So let's let the Holy Spirit lead. I'm going to ask that if you want to be dismissed right now, if you need to go places, please, you're free to go. But can we be quiet and let's press in? If you want to stay for a little bit, let's just see what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our midst. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart or mind has even prepared what it is that God has in store. I mean, we can't think of it. Oh, Holy Spirit, come and move. Come and move.
Bless you.